Ladies and gentlemen, this is our final boarding call and the doors will be closing soon.
WDW Radio, your information station.
Hello, my friend, and welcome to the WDW Radio Show, your guide to the Disney parks and experiences. I am your host, Lou Mangiello, and this is show number 804. And together since 2004, we've been sharing the magic of Disney here through the podcast, my weekly live video every Wednesday night at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, blog, events, newsletter, and more. You can join the community and find everything at wdwradio.com. And on this week's listener email segment, we dive into your questions about Disney's hidden secrets, park planning tips, and maybe even clear up some Disney history mysteries. Be sure to stay tuned for a Disney trivia question of the week for your chance to win a Disney prize package. Sign up for my free weekly email newsletter to stay connected and not miss an update. And when you do, you can get a free copy of my 102 Things to Do at Least Once in Walt Disney World book. Please connect with me on social. I am at Lou Mangiello. And if you're looking for a speaker for your event, conference, or for your business and want to leverage lessons from the Disney parks, or if you want to turn what you love into what you do, head on over to loumangiello.com. And if you like what you hear, and I hope that you do, please share the show and tell a friend. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this week's episode of the WDW Radio Show. Welcome to the virtual WDW Radio table, couch, wherever you're comfortable, where it is always about you. Over the years, I think that we have collectively grown and evolved and expanded in ways that I could not have imagined. But at its core, the show has always been and always will be about what we can share together, the creating magical memories, the experiences that you are a part of, not as just a listener, but really as family. So whether you're walking right down the middle of Main Street, USA, or in my case, on your way to Cabanas, or you're just dreaming of being there, the show is for you, with you, by you, and because of you. And I try to bring you the magic of Disney and Marvel and Star Wars directly to you. And more importantly, I want you to feel that you are with me in the parks or cruises or Adventures by Disney, experiencing it all together. And today, to help me do just that, is someone who is not just a longtime sponsor, but a travel companion, a partner in fun, and most importantly, a close friend. She is the rocket to my Groot. A little chaotic, but we still have fun together. She is the pain and panic to my Hercules. I'll let you fill that in on your own. She's the Chewbacca to my Han Solo.
Wait.
Loyal, a little bit crazy, and the perfect co-pilot on this adventure. She is Becky Mankin, the maker of magic, fellow Disney lover, and owner and chief queen officer of MEI and Mouse Fan Travel.
And your travel agent, by the way. Let's not forget that part, because as I'm sitting here looking at like the five different trips that we have planned that I have to get all the air for and I have to get everything together, that's on my agenda this week. So, but okay, rocket to your Groot. So
rocket
that
to
makes
the Groot.
Okay, so I'll take the rocket.
Because I look just like Groot too. I'm very tall, slender.
That's
not very wordy.
Sure.
Hey.
You are Groot. You are Groot. All right.
Listen, pain and panic.
I'll leave that alone.
Uh-huh. Listen, we have a lot of emails to get to. I want to answer.
I'm sure.
Your
it's been a while.
Not you, Becky, but you're our friend who's listening with us, sitting at the table with us, answer questions, share some stories, and hopefully make your next adventure even more special. Becky asks me, all the time to send me the questions in advance, which I don't do because I like this to be incredibly and fully authentic.
See, but what would be cool is if I knew how many we had, then I could sit there and say, we need another email show because no, I don't know. There's a whole pile there that I know we haven't gotten to. So
it's fine. I'm going to metaphorically once again plunge my hand into the large and deep mailbag and take whatever questions just happen to come. Again, we're going to try and get through as many as possible. We're going to be quick but thorough because we never know what we're going to get or how long it might to address. I will pick this first one out because I did see your name mentioned in the actual first
now
line.
Now I'm scared.
You should be. Hello, Lou and Becky. My husband and I are planning on visiting Disneyland and Disney California Adventure for a few days with two of our closest friends. My friends and I are all diehard Disney fans, but my husband is still learning. Insert smiley face emoji. Do you have any suggestions for experiences, attractions, or foods, that will turn him into a full-fledged Disney adult? Although Disney adult sometimes has a negative connotation, we'll move on. For context, we got to visit for a single day last year, but had to cancel the rest of our trip unexpectedly. My husband's favorite things that day were churros, I dig them already, Luigi's Rock and Roller Coasters, and Galaxy's Edge. All of it. Thank you both for all you do. And that comes from Brenna Wood. So she wants to convert him. She wants to bring him over to the light side. Becky, they're going to Disneyland and DCA for just a couple of days. What are some of the best ways that she can convert him into the good version of the Disney adult?
So, of course, I'm not sure that you actually meant for this show to only have one question because we could spend 30 minutes on Disneyland all by itself.
Short and quick. Here we go.
Oh, no. See, well, churros. He said churros, right? Or she said churros from right at the beginning. So he's a foodie or he likes sustenance. So obviously you have to do the big four, which means you need a cozy cone. You need a corn dog from the Little Red Wagon. You need, oh my gosh, that bread. What's the bread called?
Sourdough bread?
Yes, the one with the cheese and the tomato donkey stuff.
No, you mean in Fantasyland next to the castle.
What was that called? It was so Maurice's good.
Maurice's cart.
Yeah. Yes. Oh my gosh. So
how'd you not say chimichangas? It's fine. We'll move on.
Okay. You know what? I still like the chimichangas, but after I discovered the bread, you go get your chimichanga. I'll go get the bread. We'll share a bite here and there.
Look at all the foods that we're mentioning, like chimichangas, bread, corn dogs, cozy cones. It's why I have this Adonis-like physique.
This is why we don't spend a lot of time on attractions anymore. We just go from food cart to food cart to food cart.
I get my steps in just going from cart to cart.
But that's the thing about Disneyland and California Adventure is that they are so close together. It's easy to walk between the two parks. And there's a lot to experience, food included. You don't need to actually spend time waiting in queue and going on the attractions, although that's obviously part of the fun of being a Disney adult or a Disney fan. But you could spend the day in the park just wandering around the park and taking in the detail and eating all the food. So I think that you kind of have to tap into what he really loves. Find the things that he really loves and then point him in those directions. And between the two parks and Downtown Disney, you're going to find or be able to tap into the things that he really enjoys and you bring them up to that level. So obviously we found food.
Becky's like, food.
I got it.
Right, food will keep you busy enough for a couple of days.
Yeah, so it definitely would. But just wandering around, the atmosphere is amazing. And if you go to Lamplight Lounge and you just sit and you have a cocktail on the outside overlooking the roller coaster and Pixar Pier, that's a great way to spend a little bit of an afternoon too. Just people watching and not having to jump all in. But if he's a Marvel fan, you've got to get him right to Adventures Campus because just being there and people watching in the shawarma, see, I just pulled food in again. You could sit there, have your shawarma and watch all the characters that come by and that entertain the crowds. So much to do without even having to get into a line.
You know, as you were talking, And as you were, and you know, this is why we're friends, doing nothing but talking about food and drinking. It, for some reason, it made me think of this line from Animal House, which I love.
Uh-oh.
Fat, drunk, and stupid. There's no way to go through life, son. Like, I guess, right? So.
Well, yeah, food fight. We could do that too.
All right. So I agree with you 1,000% because it is about finding his entry point. And I love the fact that you want to help him level up and finding something, right? So you mentioned Galaxy's Edge and Luigi. So I think that Savi's workshop is possibly one of the most like transformative, immersive, all using all the words that we use. If you are a Star Wars fan, or your dad, or your husband, or your kid, or your wife, whoever it is, a Star Wars fan, and you're able to do that, I think Savi's workshop is one of the most remarkable and unique and memorable experiences. Like, and you have that physical takeaway from it. And when I did it for and with my son, it wasn't about the lightsaber, but it was about building the lightsaber and having that experience together. So take him to Savi's workshop. Take him, if you haven't been to Ogas and Millennium Falcons. I think if he likes Luigi's Rock and Roller Coaster, I think he's going to love the Indiana Jones adventure, right? I'm sort of imagining like he digs all this type of like action adventure, like sci-fi type of stuff. You obviously want to bring him over to the classics as well. And you know, if you really want to make this a remarkable, memorable experience and you're able to do that, maybe you want to add something even a little special to the trip. I would consider thinking about a guided tour. And Disneyland has a lot of different options that give you a deeper look into the history and the operations and the secrets that might just intrigue your husband enough and give him a new appreciation for the attention to detail, the storytelling, the customer service, whatever it might be, and really sort of help him on his own sort of make his, you know, eyes widen a little bit and get excited about going, and more importantly, for your sake, going back.
And let's go back for a second. Luigi's, it's not Rock and Roller Coaster, it's the Rock and Roadsters.
Right. That.
I just want to make sure. It's two different things. I'm thinking, is there a new roller coaster that I'm unaware of,
you know,
that Luigi takes you going upside down? But yeah, still.
I'm still thinking about Chimichanga. So.
Well, yeah. And then, of course, there's also Tormaters, which is one of my favorite kitty rides that is not a kitty ride. It is definitely not. But if he enjoys kind of that slower pace of Luigi's, there's all kinds of choices there too. Tomater and so forth. But I think a lot of people have a misconception that if you go to a Disney park, it's all about the attractions, which is exactly why I'm kind of hedging in these other directions of people watching and doing other things and just enjoying the atmosphere. So there's a lot of choice. And yeah, I agree with you. I think that building a lightsaber is a unique experience and something you can't find anywhere else. So if he's a Star Wars fan, that's definitely one in play. The tours, absolutely. And then, of course, if you want to do World of Color and do a dessert party and have a table all to yourself and have some desserts and some beverages and watch World of Color, there's a lot of those special kind of make you feel a little bit behind the velvet rope that you're not, you know, crammed in to try to find a viewpoint for the shows. Those are available at Disneyland as well.
And if he's a foodie, you know, we're talking about a lot of like quick service, counter service, grab and go type stuff. Look into a possible sit down dining experience that might make him realize Disneyland is not just for kids and it's not just hot dogs and chimichangas, although you should have to have a hot dog and chimichanga. But there are some elevated dining experiences that you could look into as well. All right,
like
we
Napa
have to
Rose.
Move on because again,
Yum.
This could be an entire show. The next question comes from Rich Schmaltz, who says, "Hey, Lube and listener, since the first Obama administration, I've used your advice on several Walt Disney World family trips. I'm trying to find the most convenient, private, professional, clean service to get my family of five, the youngest is 16, to Walt Disney World from MCO. I'm looking for something in between a luxurious stretch limo and a possibly stinky Uber. I have not been successful in the past. Mere shuttle is not on our favorite list. If I had my way, we'd arrive in style." You just said Becky's favorite words.
Yes.
"With the new minivan airport service, let me dream," he says. So what is the next best thing? Will Disney finally relent and bring back Magical Express? But really the best option is the vehicle that contains only my family and only my luggage. Thoughts? P.S.
Yeah.
I know it's unusual, but over the last 16 years, your show has gotten me through a lot of dark times. Wow. Thank you very much. Keep up the good work. All right. So, Becky, I know this is right up your alley. As soon as I saw Luxurious, I'm like, well, whatever he's talking about, this is clearly for Becky.
I'm all in. It's a family of five, and he does not want to share. I totally understand. So there are a couple options for you. A lot of people do go, well, I'll just take an Uber or Lyft. You know what? And that's fine for some people. It works great. But if this is your vacation, you want to kind of start off something a little special. First of all, Uber and Lyft, you're running into a few problems. You have to find them for number one. There's also a lot of surge pricing that's going on as well right now. And you honestly don't know what you're going to get. So let's take that off the table. You don't need a stretch limo, although there's a lot of people that will go to that length because obviously if it's that special, they will go there. But the middle of the road right now is there's a lot of different town car services that will get a Suburban for you. They usually fit up to six people and luggage, and that's probably going to be your most economical, best bet for somewhere between the Uber and the stretch limo. Now, if you're staying concierge at a Disney property, they have started doing minivans again, just for that group of folks. We're hoping that we will eventually see them open it back up so that minivans will also do the airport transportation as they once did before the pandemic. We have not seen that at this point. So right now, your best bet is going to be using one of the town car services. And if you have a travel advisor, they probably work with somebody in the Orlando area that they recommend. I know that we do. That can do the round trip via a Suburban, which will accommodate your group.
Right. Exactly what Becky said. I'm really like, I'm an Uber guy. I love just sort of being able to not have to worry about somebody waiting for me or like just going to there and just hitting the Uber. But I certainly understand wanting to do something. And Becky, we've traveled before and we've done a lot of those services in the past. And there's definitely a lot of advantages.
It's like when I plan it, we have town car services. When you plan it, we jump into an Uber. I know that's how it works. I need to write a book just on traveling with Lou Angelo. I think that would be a bestseller.
That might. When I'm gone, you write whatever you want. Knock yourself out.
Ooh, that's been
that
recorded.
Was not an invitation. All right, I'm going to move on. Again, I'm going to choose this one because Kristen Bright starts off by saying, hello, Becky and Lou.
Hi, Kristen.
I'm reaching out with a Disney history question for you.
Oh, this is going to be all Lou all the time.
In the hopes, you're going to love this. It's about your favorite attraction. In the hopes you can clear up some confusion, Dinosaur is my favorite attraction in Disney's Animal Kingdom, but I have distinct memories of being terrified of it as a child.
Welcome Me too.
To Becky's World.
An adult.
However, I was not afraid of the dinos, but of the meteor. And upon some Googling about the history of the ride, I found some reports claiming that the Carnotaurus lunging at you in the ride's finale may not have always been there. And instead, there was an animatronic meteor hitting the Earth. And I wonder if that could have something to do with my childhood fears. That said, reports seemed extremely mixed as to whether the meteor at the end were even there or if it was just a giant dino head. So my question was there ever a meteor? Or was it a dino from the jump? And if there was a meteor, when did they make the change and why? Thank you for all you do. Your show has truly helped me get through these crazy times over the last few years. There's nothing like that little part of Disney magic when you can't be at the parks. Becky, I know this is...
it's dinosaurs that eat your head.
Top 10 reasons why Becky doesn't love this attraction. It's dinosaurs and screaming children. And
no, it's right. The dinosaurs. It's the dinosaurs and the big teeth and they're coming after your head. It scares the bejesus out of me.
Just sit back. Just don't hurt yourself.
I'm over here.
All right. So, Kristen, I have good news and I have bad news. If you think that you are imagining a meteor at one point in Dinosaur, the good news is correct. There was a meteor element in the original version of the ride when it first opened as Becky, Countdown to Extinction. There was a very sort of dramatic simulated meteor strike as part of the finale. There was this giant sort of flaming meteor.
Magical.
Hurling towards the end.
That sounds fun.
Becky, what's worse, being eaten by a dinosaur or the extinction of all living life on the planet?
I'll think about that while you continue to answer the question.
They did change this years later, around 2000, when it was rebranded as Dinosaur to, they call it Synergy, to tie in with the Disney animated movie Dinosaur. And that media was replaced by the now iconic and oh so Becky friendly Carnotaurus lunging at the ride vehicle. So the idea was to, and that's why even sort of the dinosaur outside, and there were some subtle and not so subtle changes inside, to make sort of the more direct, without having advertising for the movie all over the place, a more direct connection to the film. So if your childhood memory involves the fear of the meteor, it was probably from that earlier version. But I have good news and I have bad news. And the good news, or bad news, or maybe it's both good news, is they will all soon be going away, as Dinosaur is going to be making, don't clap, my son is very sad. Like, legit, I thought the kid was going to cry the last time we wrote it. Like, he's very sad, but he's also...
he'll get
he's
over
more
it.
Sad than happy, but that it is going to be replaced by Indiana Jones.
See, that's going to be what's cool. So I'm looking forward to that. That's why I'm clapping. Well, okay, there's other reasons why I'm clapping, but still, that's a great reason to clap. So, yay.
Okay, Becky, because I want you very much to participate in this conversation email show, I'm going to go from an attraction that you just cannot stand to your three favorite words.
I'm so scared. I'm very terrified.
Lori Evenhouse said, and she leads with this, which is why I selected it. What would you do on a VIP tour?
Oh, yay.
She just had this like wash of like, oh, finally, someone speaking my language. Enough of this counter service nonsense. Hello, Lou, and hopefully, Becky, let's say you had the chance to use a VIP tour guide in Walt Disney World. How would you use that 8 hours on the VIP tour? What would you want to do and see and experience while you had that opportunity? Before you start going into your... Becky's literally standing up. Like, she's like winding up for this, like a picture in the World Series. It really is. I've been fortunate to experience it with you and because of you, because Becky doesn't do lines, so I get to reap the benefits. It really is the ultimate way to, I think, enhance your park experience with very personalized service and priority access and flexibility. And I want to hear sort of the way you have done and recommend doing a VIP tour guide, but just some of the very sort of basics in terms of what's included in a VIP tour. You will get a Disney guide. Have you ever seen any of the guys or gals in sort of the plaid vests, sometimes with a riding crop, which is just weird, but awesome at the same time that it's still there. they will customize your day as the day goes on. You don't sort of need to plan it in advance based on your preferences. And they take you to your favorite attractions and share insider tips and history that you do get priority access to most attractions, depending on what attraction is and then time of day and being able to skip the standby lines. You also get to visit multiple parks in one day with private transportation between them, entering through some very cool backstage areas as well. You can also get reserve viewing area for parades and nighttime spectaculars and things like that. Everything comes at a price, and the cost of VIP tours varies a little bit depending on the time of the year. It ranges from about $450 to $900 per hour for the group, which is up to 10 people with a 7 hour minimum, meaning if my mathematicals are correct, it could cost between like $3,100 and $6,300 for a full day. And it does not include park admission. So you need to have your own park admission. And then obviously gratuities are optional. A lot of people, I think, you know, rightly so, tip their guides for exceptional service. So I think, Becky, it's a great way to have a very stress-free, very luxury experience in Walt Disney World, especially if you want to maximize your time. And if you do it with a group, it's not only more fun, but you could also spread out the cost. I know there's some sticker shock to it, but talk to me about your experience with VIP tour guides in terms of the ways to sort of maximize that experience, and then what you do in terms of recommending these for your clients.
Oh my gosh. Again, this could be
an entire thing on its own.
Some of the biggest benefits, like you said, yeah, the cost, it's not cheap to do. However, if you have 10 people and you divide that cost between the people, it's actually a really good value because you can do all four parks in one day and see all of the e-ticket level attractions and go to the shows and also experience the nighttime shows as well. So one of the best benefits is that that private transportation, they take you backstage to backstage to backstage. So you're not pulling up, waiting, having to go through security again, having to go through all of the all of that process and wasting time. So one thing that I used it for one year, and this was at Christmas, and I couldn't believe that we actually pulled this off. Now, of course, this happened. It came all together perfectly. It may not come together perfectly for anybody else in the future. However, I wanted to see the Christmas show. Well, actually, no, it was like right before Osborne Lights had gone away. Sniff, missed that show. But I also wanted to see the fireworks in Magic Kingdom. And there was this little bit of a window where we were able to go see Osborne Lights. They picked us up backstage. We got into the vehicle. We got to Magic Kingdom in time to see the fireworks as well. And there was only like a 15-minute, 20-minute space between the two. So you can sit and go, you know what? What do I really want to do with this vacation? Don't waste it on eating. Sorry, Lou. Don't waste part of your 7 hours going to a sit-down restaurant and spending an hour and a half in there. You want to use the guide for all of the magical experiences that the guide can bring to you. And not only is it there, you're walking fast pass to get into the lightning lanes and get you up front, it can, they also know the history. They can tell you so much about the parks and so much about the history. So if you're a history buff, ask them questions. They're happy to share their knowledge with you as well. So I've seen clients that are like, I have some small children with me. They're a part of one large family, but maybe the family wants to go to Animal Kingdom, but there's another part of the family that needs to go back and take a nap. They can help with that. They can help make sure that people have what they need and still can enjoy the parks, can get you back to the hotel if necessary, can get you onto the rides that you really want to go on, and get you to all four parks in one day if that's what you really want to do.
Yeah, I think it is, again, I think a lot of people, they hear about it, they do some research and they see that number and they get a little bit of sticker shock. But as you start to break it down, Becky, and because you can have 10 people and start to realize just not only what an elevated experience that you can have, but just how much time that you save. And if you want to do something, we get this question all the time. How can I make this event more special? How do I do something that's memorable? How do I celebrate this thing? I think a VIP tour is one of the best unique ways to do it. The only problem with a VIP tour is you get used to a VIP tour.
So, it's hard to go back.
It's hard to go back, right? It's like when I tell people, when people say that they're doing like a split stay, they come to Walt Disney World and they're like, well, we're going to, you know, All-Star Sports and we're also going to Grand Floridian. I'm like, definitely do Grand Floridian second, because it's hard to go from one to the other and sometimes it's hard. But this is something that is very special. And I think you can book them now 180 days out from your vacation, which, depending on the time of year that you go, Becky, you almost need to do, because believe it or not, there's a limited number of tour guides for each park, and they do often sell out. Like sometimes, they are completely booked out.
Yeah, and they go fast. It's one of those things that a lot of people think about when you think about the cruises or you think about suites at the resorts and so forth. Yeah, they're pricey, but guess what? They're the very first things to sell out because they are in such demand. Book that VIP guide as soon as you can. Right now, I think it might not be 180. I think it might actually be closer in, like 60, if I'm not mistaken. So double check on that, but I think it's going to be 60 because it's like getting race pibs. The moment that it opens, people are booking those, especially around holidays, because families take advantage of it. It's a great opportunity to not worry about doing all the planning. And what's great is you can talk to the VIP tour department before you even arrive. And they ask you, what shows do you want to see? What things do you want to do? What do you want to experience? So that guide can customize your visit to your family's needs and make it the least amount of stress that you could possibly have on a Disney World vacation. And of course, they do the same thing in Disneyland as well.
Yeah. You want to talk about an absolutely stress-free vacation and being able to sort of adapt on the fly. It's like change things around as you're going, you know what, we feel like doing this now, and that's fine. We'll get in the car and go, you know, from here to here. We can go back to this park. We can go back to the resort, whatever it might be. So that that freedom and flexibility.
Can we go with you? We'd be happy to go with her, right? This is.
Listen, I mean, if you need somebody to fill in, you know, a couple of extra spots, you should never, don't VIP alone is my best.
Yeah, exactly.
Is my best advice. That's,
I think that's a great, great motto to live by.
All right. I want to move on. I want to get to, I have a feeling this might take up the rest of the show. I was intrigued by something I saw in the top of the email. And as I started to read down, I'm like, this is perfect. Longtime listener, first time writer. Writing in from Bangkok on my way home from Singapore. This is why I was intrigued. My son, wife, and I moved there recently from Philadelphia, and it has been a wonderful adventure. All I hear now in my head is one night in Bangkok and the world's your oyster. The bars are temple, but their pearls ain't free.
Chess.
I don't know what that means. Wait, trivia question. Who sang One Night in Bangkok?
It was from
Don't
show
Google it.
Chess.
Stop it. Put your hands up. I don't know why I remember this all these years later. Murray Head.
Yes, but it was from Murray Chess.
What's chess? Whatever. Moving on. I wanted to pick your brain. One of our first big trips as expats will be to visit Tokyo Disneyland and DisneySea.
Yay.
We are planning one day at Disneyland, 1.5 to 2 days at DisneySea, and the last 1.5 days we plan on spending exploring the resorts. We're hoping to stay at the Toy Story Resort and then maybe the MiraCosta, depending on the package that MEI and Mousefan Travel comes up with. Becky just rolled her eyes. I'll explain. We'll explain why in a second.
Yeah.
Do you, calm down. Becky's having like a seizure. Do you have any can't miss attractions, attractors, restaurants, etc. you would recommend for a mom, dad, and a 16-month-old? Any tips for bringing the baby? Becky just stepped out of the room. Anything we should skip? Don't worry. A trip to Tokyo, Kyoto, and elsewhere in Japan is 1B on the list. Can't wait to explore the country of Japan itself as well. Thanks for everything you do and all the best from across the world. That is from Alex H. Becky, this maybe should be its own standalone show because we have talked about, we will continue to talk about, we're going back to Tokyo Disneyland and DisneySea in 2025. And wait, I think we have one spot left for our...
We have two.
As the day we're recording this, we have one spot left for our trip in May 2025. I think we're going to do a live. Maybe we'll do a live. If you're curious about coming with us on Adventures by Disney, and this is, of all the ABDs we've done, it is my favorite. It's why we're going back. You're right. I almost called him Murray. You're right, Alex. Japan is a remarkable place, not just because of the Disney part, but because of the country itself. And the ABD is nothing short of spectacular. However, he wants to know about the can't miss attractions, restaurants, etc. for mom, dad. Becky, don't ignore the fact, but he has a 16-month-old, which normally would freak you out because Becky's answers to people, leave the 16-month at home. They can't. They're taking their baby with them. But what tips do you have for can't miss?
Go. You were just overflowing right now. Go ahead.
I am. All right. Go. So I'll help. Let me take this off the plate for you. Right. If you have a 16-month-old, I know a lot of people say, well, when is it too young for them to go to a park and going to a new? I disagree. I took both my children from when they were very young. Again, they may not remember everything, but you will. And I think there are some can't miss attractions for families taking a child of that age. Pooh's Honey Hunt it is not just a must do for your 16-month-old. It is a must do
for everybody.
You. It is this unique trackless attraction. It is very like, and anything I'm going to recommend is certainly appropriate for a 16-month-old. Beautiful visuals. It's a very gentle ride experience. It's very bright. It's colorful. Your 16-month-old might not know exactly what he or she is seeing, but they're going to love that visual and auditory stimulation. Adults love it, possibly even more than the kids do. And if you don't believe me, look at the merchandise shop lines when you come out. Certainly, it's a small world. I think it is Tokyo Disneyland is in many respects, it's like a best of the best of the Disneyland parks from around the world. And it's a small world. Mickey's PhilharMagic, all those are very much, I think, taken from that mindset. Certainly in Fantasyland, everything is sort of baby-friendly attractions, from Dumbo to Peter Pan's Flight. And I think in DisneySea, do you know what I think would be a great attraction for a baby there? The Aquatopia. Right? Oh. That's water. It is this, again, same thing. It is a gentle, trackless water ride. There's no big drops. There's no sudden movements. The entire Mermaid Lagoon area is perfect for kids with so many smaller rides. Like there's the Blowfish. It's like a Blowfish balloon race and the Whirlpool. It's wonderfully themed. It's also indoors, so if weather is a factor and it's not very loud inside that entire sort of underground area as well. I think Sinbad's Storybook Voyage, also a great attraction for babies. And you know what else too? The gondolas. Like maybe your baby wants to go take a little nap. Go take that nice sort of soothing, relaxing boat ride on the waterways. The views are incredible. Great photo op for you and your family as well too.
I totally agree with everything you just said. The Pooh's Honey Hut, that one surprised me so much because I remember when we got there and people were saying, you got to go do it. And we're like, why? What? Okay. And then walked out of there and went, oh, okay, now I see why. Absolutely have to do that. The other thing that I would think of too, or that I would mention, any of their parades, any of their nighttime shows, just sitting there and taking that all in. The water parade that's over at DisneySea, I can't remember what the name of the show is right now that they have going, but it's just spectacular and amazing. I think that, seriously, Tokyo is probably the best of all the Disney experiences right now and has been for several years for me, and I can't wait to go back. So I'm kind of jealous about this whole, question.
I think currently it's Believe Sea of Dreams, which is on, and all, the daytime and nighttime shows on the lagoon are amazing. I think they are the best anywhere worldwide, and we've seen pretty much all of them in the Disney parks worldwide. I think Tokyo is just on a completely different level. That being said, too, Becky, I would consider skipping. I'm saying this gently. I would consider skipping things like Tower of Terror, Journey to the Center of the Earth, and even some of the other areas where, depending on you and baby and stroller and things like that, there are some areas of the park, especially during certain times, that can get very crowded and congested, even in terms of getting into the park. If you look at some of the lines to get into the park before rope drop early in the morning, they can get very long depending on the time of year. I think I would,
I'm sorry. They do have Child Swap though available, so I wouldn't totally.
Becky, you get confused. You think Child Swap is swapping your baby for an older child that can carry it? It is not what Child Swap means. It's something completely different.
Wow. Okay. Rider Switch. Do you want to call this Child Rider Switch instead? Is that better? Do you feel better about that? I just don't want them to miss out on some of these awesome attractions.
Like holding a baby. Like, I want to turn this baby in. It just screams too much and I've just had it. Do you have something in a different model? A little bit more luxurious? Quieter?
No, not a bit. Anyway, we wouldn't want them to miss out on some of these amazing attractions as well. They can still use Rider Swap. There you go. That'll make you feel better.
I would, and this is for, I think, any Disney park. I would also, like, before you go, and obviously you download the app and things like that, but I would figure out where the baby care centers are before you need a baby care center, knowing where they are in the park. So if you do need to go for, a changing station, a quiet area where you can rest and feed your baby, they're normally located by the first aid stations. But I think having that idea of before you get to any of the parks worldwide, sort of knowing where they are ahead of time could help make for, you know, a better experience if and when you do need to go. And brakes are your friend. Like,
oh, yeah. But it's so hard to, there's so much to see there and so much to do. And again, a ton of eye candy and have all the popcorn.
Yeah.
Have all the popcorn.
I would also think about where to stay. I think the Hotel MiraCosta is the best of the best of the best, possibly of any of the resorts worldwide, right? The incredible views of DisneySea. I think MiraCosta is one of those, but also in terms of how easy it is if you're at DisneySea to get back. You need to get back. The baby needs to take a nap. Mom and dad need to take a nap. And the Toy Story Hotel is also like very vibrant. It's very fun. It's, I think, perfect for really young kids and families as well.
Don't discount. We kind of aren't thinking about this because we haven't seen it yet. But Fantasy Springs is also open and going. And the hotel that's over on that side, that I can't wait to kind of see what we're in store for there. Mm-hmm. So that should be a consideration, too.
Becky and I may or may not be planning a research trip before our research trip, just because, like I think we need to go before we go.
I think we already determined that. Yeah, we've already determined that, and it's one of the things on the five trips on the list that I have to work on.
Yeah, we have many things to discuss. All right, one more super, super quick question. I was going to call it right there because I could talk about Tokyo Disneyland and DisneySea.
So could I.
Over and over again. Please go back and also listen to... we did do a full review and discussion of Disneyland and DisneySea, Alex, on... I'll go back and find the exact episode numbers for you, but we did talk a lot about the parks, which might help you. One last super quick question, just because I happen to see it, and I actually do have an answer. Mike says, I have done all of your audio walking tours of the Magic Kingdom, and they are great. Do you have similar tours for the other parks? Also, I haven't been able to find any of them on Apple Music, and that comes for Mike. So Mike, you were talking about my audio walking tours, my guided tours of each of the seven lands of Magic Kingdom. I was trying to just think as I was reading the question. I think my first one came out in 2008 on CD. Kids, look up, ask Jeeves what a CD was. They're like tiny little records, a little piece of plastic.
They're great coasters now.
Wow.
Sorry, just...
where the idea was that you and I would be walking side by side and I would give you a guided tour of the history and the details and the secrets of the fun facts, park by park, of the entire park, land by land. And if, especially if you listened in headphones, I recorded all the background audio in binaural audio. So if I was talking about the Swiss Family Treehouse, you would hear in sort of 3D sound as if we were standing right by the treehouse. If we were talking about an attraction, it would sound like we were on the attraction. And depending on where you are, sometimes there's some great background audio of, like, on Main Street, you'll say a little bit of the music and the clip-clop of the horses behind you. I cut out all the parts where there was the screaming babies, just, but you know, it would have made for a more authentic experience. So I did all of the lands in Magic Kingdom, including Mickey's Toontown Fair, may you rest in peace. And although the park has evolved over time, they really are sort of snapshots in time, but I think give a fun sort of history of the park. And again, it's as if you and I, two friends, were walking through the park. So it's a great way to sort of be connected to the experience when you're at home. And I know some people that actually put the earbuds in and took the tour sort of in person as they went to the parks. Over time, they've been sort of on and off Apple Music. I will tell you to stay tuned because I will have a way for you to easily access all of them. My original concept was to do every park, every land, like break it down land by land and do all of the resorts as well. It was a little bit bigger of a bite of the apple than I thought it was going to. I did not think this out when I first came up with the idea in 2008, because writing an audio tour for me, my experience, and because I want to be thorough and very complete and I have to make sure everything is accurate. Writing each of the audio tours, just to give you a peek sort of behind the curtain, writing each of the audio tours was like writing a book. And then I have to take that book and I have to turn that book into a script. And then I have to take that book and I had to script and I had to sort of whittle it down to be 57 minutes and 59 seconds because it had to fit onto a CD. And that was the entire length that it could be of a CD, which offered its own set of challenges. Later audio tours, once the technology caught up to what I wanted to do. I was able to do like a double CD, and I was releasing things digitally so I could make them a lot longer. Let's say hypothetically, like it takes me from beginning to end, it would take me like a year to do the research, do the writing, even if it took half a year. Let's say it takes 6 months. If I did nothing else and just did the audio tours. And for those of you who know me, I spin a lot of plates all the exact same time.
I was going to say, when are you fitting this in? Because right. I know better. It's
in some sort of like bizarro upside down world, if I was able to do one in 6 months, let's just go to Epcot, right? Let's take all, if I did an overview of Epcot, all the attractions, all the pavilions, I'm still going to call it Future World, all the pavilions in Future World, all 11 in World Showcase, that's ballpark 22 different CD audio tours. If it was six, it would take me 11 years just to do Epcot. So,
and then you'd have to redo it because every 2 years D23 comes out, announces new stuff, and then you have to start from scratch.
Oh, God, please. So, with that being said, I think the idea of doing the actual sort of released audio tours where I sell them as individual products, that may probably not happen. However, what I started to do was, and I'm going to get back to doing this, I promise, were the longer podcasts, which were DSI, sort of Disney Scene Investigations, of current and former attractions and pavilions and lands and things like that. So you get that same sort of tour slash deep dive, and I'll try and do some more of that binaural audio in the background. But in terms of, if you have a CD of the audio tours, we can now call them collectibles. Because I no longer have shelves and shelves of physical CDs in my garage. So,
Becky, which is probably a good thing.
Becky, this is all news to you. Becky didn't even know I did audio tours. She's like,
No, I have a whole collection myself. If you don't remember.
Do you use them as coasters?
Well, they're on the shelf.
Becky tries to give them away as stocking stuffers at Christmas. Someone's like, Becky, I don't even have a CD player. You gotta buy me a CD player as long as you give me the
Well, you know, you do have a lot of history.
Are you saying that I'm old? Is that like a nice way to say, you know what, old man?
No.
You're still using the word CD in your podcast, and maybe that is at the first indicator. So
yeah. Yeah.
What was your favorite audio tour?
Main Street.
She Googled, give me lands and Magic Kingdom. It's fine.
Hey, no,
it's
look, fine. Mom, it no hands. I'm literally holding up my hand so he can see that I'm not Googling anything for the heck of it. Because
Lou, Becky, listen, we still have, and I promise we're going to do, if you could just stay off a ship for 5 minutes, I promise we're going to record another email soon. However, for those listening at home, in the car, wherever you might be, I want to invite you to send your questions. And maybe what we'll do, Becky, is it's taken me, we've been doing email shows for 17, 18 years, and I just thought about this. Maybe we'll do specifically themed email shows. We'll do a show about Disney Cruise Line. We'll do a show about Adventures by Disney. We'll do a show about overseas parks. So let's just pick one, right? And you know what? If you have a question, if you have a question about anything, we'll still do it, but I'll also do a Disney Cruise Line specific show. So I'll put a call out in the clubhouse and to the nation and here on the podcast. So if you have a question about Disney Cruise Line in the coming weeks, months, years, whatever it might be, I promise we will get to
the next email show is 2027. Got it.
Disney Cruise Line specific show. if you have a question that I have not answered yet, I promise that I will get to it because the fun is just beginning. I don't just mean here on this podcast, but we have many more adventures together, many more shows together, and certainly whether people are going to World, Land, Cruise Line, Adventures by Disney, or any other destination on this big, blue, beautiful planet of ours, they can visit you and your incredible team of advisors over at mousefantravel.com.
That's so true. Like you said, we do everything. Please know also that booking with us helps us support WDW Radio and Lou Mangiello and his efforts as well. And right now, we're also giving a little bit of our profits to the Dream Team project. So that's going to happen for the next 3 weeks. So please, please, please book with us. Give us a try. We're free. We have no fees above and beyond what you're already paying if you're going direct. And we're happy to help you create and curate the vacation of your dreams.
All right, Becky, close your ears for a second.
Okay.
You've heard me say all these nice things for so many years. I recommend Mousefin Travel because it's who I use. It's not just about their services, but it really is about the people. The incredible advisors like treat you like family, and family that they like, right? Coming from, let's be clear, they treat you like family that they like, and that is
the family you choose,
right?
There you go.
And again,
this has got off the rails, but that's
okay.
You
want me to answer on an upcoming show? You can use the contact form over at wdwradio.com or just email me, lou@wdwradio.com. You can also follow Becky and her wild and wacky adventures to nowhere in particular. She is Becky Mankin and at Mouse Fan Travel on all of the socials. And Becky Mankin, if you could have one snack from any park worldwide right now, what would it be? Go.
Oh, the spaghetti popcorn from Tokyo DisneySea. Sorry, when we start talking about Tokyo, that's the first thing I thought was the popcorn. And remember the spaghetti tasting popcorn?
It's funny. Because that's how we described it. It was called like tomato basil.
Pesto like, basil something. But it was spaghetti. It was like eating spaghetti. It was
and it
so good.
It sounds gross, but it was amazing.
It was so good.
I can still remember. It was right by Soarin'.
But wait, the little green men, the little green mochi men.
Wait, how about the queue of Soarin' in Tokyo?
Oh.
The mirror and the paintings? Dude, you want to talk about technology
that
will make your jaw drop. You're like, oh, I don't need to ride Soarin'. It's the same.
No,
you go to Soarin' just for the... There's very few attractions that I say go to just for the queue. Soarin' in Tokyo DisneySea, you go just for the queue.
That was cool.
And
but the restaurant, the Volcano... Restaurant, cafe, Volcania. What was it called?
Volcania.
Oh,
it's the only time I've gotten Becky to eat at a quick service restaurant. Not once, but twice.
In a row on the same trip. It was so good.
And the views are amazing. Oh, yeah.
Little green mochi men.
I can't wait to go in. WDWradio.com/events. You can find out, get a free no obligation quote about Tokyo, about our ABD, river cruise on the Seine, our trip to Disneyland, and depending on when you're listening to this, other events that we have not announced.
What snack would you get?
No, Becky, I don't have time. I really don't have time to go down this very long, very delicious road.
We started with food, we're ending with food. Just one thing, one snack. Think of one little morsel. It was your death row Disney snack.
I can't. I love them all so much. It's time for this week's Walt Disney World Trivia Challenge, where I ask you to test your knowledge of Disney trivia, history, or see where in Disney you may have heard a sound, song, or quote. You can enter via our online form, and if you enter correctly, you could win a Disney prize package. And this week's trivia contest is once again sponsored by my favorite foodie event of the year, the Walt Disney World Swan and Dolphin Food and Wine Classic, happening November 15th and 16th. The event is celebrating its 15th anniversary. I've been to almost every one, and it's bigger and better than ever with more than 45 different delicious dishes, 170 different drink options, including rare wines and craft beers. There's also interactive seminars, live entertainment, and special ticket packages, including 15% off if you attend both nights. Whether you are a food lover, a wine enthusiast, or just looking for a great night under the stars with great company, the Food and Wine Classic is my favorite can't-miss foodie event of the year, and I'd love for you to join me at the event this year. You get your tickets at foodandwineclassic.com. And now, before we get to this week's trivia question, let's go back, review last week's, and select our winner. So last week I asked you to tell me, what was the very first attraction in Walt Disney World to feature characters from Pixar films? Now this one ended up being a little bit more tricky than I thought it was going to be. A lot of you came back and said that it was Buzz Lightyear's Space Ranger Spin in Magic Kingdom, which opened on November 3rd, 1998. It actually soft opened a couple of weeks earlier. However,
the very first attraction to open in Walt Disney World that featured characters from Pixar films was It's Tough to Be a Bug, which opened April 22nd, 1998, with Disney's Animal Kingdom. And it actually took a number of years before we would see another attraction with Pixar films, with Turtle Talk with Crush opening in 2004, Monsters, Inc. in 2007, Toy Story Midway Mania 2008, Alien Swirling Saucers didn't open until 2018, along with Slinky Dog Dash. But I took all the correct entries, randomly selected one, and last week you are once again playing for the prize package that includes the keychain, the stickers, the pin, and a mystery prize. And last week's winner, randomly selected, is Kayla Munson. So Kayla, congratulations. Your prize package will be out to you right away. And if you played last week and didn't win, don't worry, because here's your next chance to enter in this week's Walt Disney World Trivia Challenge. So we're going to go back in time once again, because I'd love for you to tell me, what was the very first parade ever to be performed in Walt Disney World? The very first parade ever to be performed inside the parks in Walt Disney World. You have until Sunday, October 13th at 11:59 p.m. Eastern to go to www.radio.com, click on this week's podcast, use the form there. Once again, you're going to play for the keychain, the stickers, the pin, and another mystery item. So good luck and have fun. That's going to do it for this week's show. Thank you so much for taking the time to tune in this and every week. Just because it is the end of the episode, it does not mean it is the end of the fun. Come be part of the community and conversation over in the WW Radio Clubhouse. It is our fun, family-friendly, free, and very welcoming community over at www.radio.com/clubhouse. If you have a question, a comment, or just want to say a hello from the parks, you can call the voicemail at 407-900-9391. That's 407-900-WDW1, and I'll play it on the show. Please connect with me on social. I am at Lou Mancello. Join me this and every Wednesday night at 7:30 p.m. Eastern for WW Radio Live on Facebook and YouTube, and visit our events page at www.radio.com/events for upcoming events, including our Meet of the Month, group cruises, Adventures by Disney, and much more. And just a quick reminder that tickets to our Evening at the Tip Top Club 2, a very special one-of-a-kind event happening on Saturday, October 26th, 2024, at a secret location at Disney's Hollywood Studios, are almost sold out, and ticket sales do end Sunday, October 13th. And what is our Evening at the Tip Top Club? We are going to go back in time into 1930s Hollywood for a night of dinner, dancing, live music from the same band that performed outside the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror during Disney's Jollywood Nights last year. And of course, a few surprises that I can't tell you about just yet. Plus, you can come in your 1930s best, whether it's a tea gown, broad shoulder suit, fedora, or your Halloween costume, because it is just a few days before Halloween. Like I said, I am very excited for this event. It has never been done before, and we are going to bring the Tip Top Club 2 to you. And thanks to our friends over at Mouse Fan Travel, $20 per ticket is going to our Dream Team project to benefit the Make-A-Wish Foundation of America. To find out more and get your ticket, visit www.com/tiptop24. And I hope to see you there. And the best way to stay updated and get exclusive content is with my free weekly email newsletter. There's no algorithms, nothing to check. It is delivered to your inbox every Wednesday. Plus, you can get a free copy of my 102 Things to Do at Walt Disney World at least once book. Subscribe by going to www.radio.com/subscribe. Thanks again to Becky Mank from Mouse Fan Travel for joining me this and every week. And if you like what you hear, and I hope that you do, please share the show. Text a link to this or your favorite episode with a friend, and rate and review the show over on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And if there's ever any way that I can help you, please visit loumangello.com, see what else I'm working on there, including free resources to help you pursue your passion. Finally, most importantly, thank you, thank you, thank you. I love and appreciate you. Remember to be kind, choose the good, and have a great day and even better tomorrow. So until next time, see ya.